the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is Green IT, the true ROI. Our guests for today's show are Molly O'Neill, Wendy Bell, Pat Lowicki, and Ashok Singhal. Molly is the Assistant Administrator and Chief Information Officer in the Office of Environmental Information, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, which is the EPA. Wendy is the CIO of GE Capital Solutions Fleet Services. Pat is the Senior Vice President and CIO with Pacific Gas and Electric Company. And Ashok is the Chief Technical Officer and Founder with 3PAR. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So are we green enough yet?
Nope.
Okay, so that's a pretty strong no here. So how are we doing overall? Anyone, just pick this up. We will not get into the question up front.
I think we're absolutely making the proper strides in the right direction. There's definitely a strong consciousness around the various businesses, various agencies, but we're not where we need to be yet. There's a great deal more that we can do, and especially for the IT audience, most definitely there's so much we can do with what we have at our disposal today to make improvements that I think we still have some great swings that we can make together on this.
So, go ahead.
This is Molly O'Neill. I just wanted to say on this, I think there's more we can do, but I also think it's pretty impressive that we have the federal government, the industry who are producing the products, the hardware and the software, and the local citizens who are really behind and really understanding what greening up really means. And they're really starting to appreciate it from a information technology perspective. So we're sort of at a tipping point, I think, right now in terms of there's a lot of things people can do and people are starting to do them, and then really what should they focus on to make us really tip over to in the tipping point?
I share Molly's views. That I do definitely see the momentum really picking up around this initiative.
No, question is that whenever we have such an initiative, and we've had other initiatives which are, you know, which will do good to the country, to the planet, to the world, and usually whenever we look at that, unless otherwise there is a compliance mandate from the federal government or the local or state agencies, people would keep it as a second priority or treat it like a stepchild and mostly look at the economic viability of the same initiative. So when it comes down to green IT, are we seeing the same stepchild syndrome, Molly?
Well, I don't think we're seeing a stepchild syndrome yet. I mean, I can speak from EPA's perspective, and, you know, at EPA, our mission is to protect human health and the environment. And our employees really believe in the mission. That's one of the most fascinating parts of working for a big federal agency. That mission is so important. So, you know, at EPA, this isn't a stepchild kind of thing that we're doing. We're actually taking responsibility to ensure that our own IT investments are socially responsible, environmental friendly, and fiscally sound. But, you know, these are great reasons for embracing a green IT, and many of us actually are seeing firsthand really what the savings are on the greener technologies and greener business approaches that can offset costs. And so one of the key reasons green IT has taken hold is because, yes, for altruistic reasons, it's the right thing to do for the environment. But when you actually look at the cost savings associated, you're actually looking at putting green back into the organization's pockets. I think that's when the investment can really be seen by senior managers and to really take hold beyond the altruistic effects that in case the mission isn't the same at EPA. So thankfully, we're here today to discuss this really great opportunity.
Wendy?
Reflecting, you know, and supporting what Molly said is, you know, it's really taking responsibility in this environment. We absolutely know that smart green initiatives save our customers money, reduces emissions, and really and truly are growth opportunities for our business. And as our chairman coins it, he says green is green. And just as an example, here at GE, we launched what we call our Eco Imagination Strategy in 2004. And when we did it, we said we'll have a goal to grow our revenues, and we'll grow them at $6 billion in 2004 to $20 billion in 2010. And I'm here today to tell you very proudly that in 2007 we hit $14 billion, and we're going to surpass that $20 billion mark, not in 2010, but in 2009. If you look specifically at the business that I'm in, which is a business where we provide leases and services for vehicles to companies, we're really focused on driving down total cost of operations for our customers. We have what is called a telematics service offering technology that I'm sure the audience is very familiar with, and we expect to be managing information through about 1 million telematics units deployed on those vehicles by 2010. That information allows us to do a few key things. It's going to allow us to save our customers up to $400 million U.S. in fuel, which is a big challenge for us today. But in addition to that, it's going to actually reduce the CO2 emissions by about 1.2 metric tons. Plus, because it's a value proposition for our customers, it's going to generate more revenue for GE. So that's just one example to solidify this thought around, you know, green is green. It truly is.
Okay.
At PG&E, really, environmental leadership is one of our core values, and it has been for quite a while. We've stepped out as a utility organization and took a stand quite a number of years ago before green was really popular. Along with that, I think this stepchild syndrome, I think our customers, especially in the area that we're in, really demand more of a green footprint and demand green from companies, and I think that's what we'll continue to see as we move along and as, again, as this initiative really continues to expand and take on a life of its own. Also, from an ROI perspective, I do believe that the cost of energy continues to be a very large factor for a lot of companies. So anything we can do to bring down that cost of energy, bring down within our own IT footprint, the cost of providing service is just that much better for our customers overall.
Yes?
So I agree that if the perceived cost is very high, then enterprises are unlikely to want to adopt technologies. But our focus is to try to reduce the amount of resources used, and by doing that, actually provide an ROI instead of them viewing the technology as a cost. One example is thin provisioning and thin copy technologies that 3PAR has developed. It's been successful, and there's been a significant uptake in the industry for these technologies because we've been able to articulate very clearly the ROI, both in terms of economic gains and in terms of the environmental benefits to the customers from these technologies. Thin provisioning reduces the amount of storage needed by the customer for a given application. We estimate that there are about 100 million disk drives out there consuming about 50 billion kilowatt hours per year, including cooling. If all of these had used thin technologies, it would be roughly half, which is very, very significant.
So when we talk about the, you can say from an adoption standpoint, we see that there is value. And from Ash's standpoint that, you know, there is technology being developed, comes the point that what do we do with what we have invested in already? There's always also another mantra which always is an underlying for all IT organization is preserve existing IT investments. When we say that and then we bring on this Mr. Green IT and we say let's bring up something new which is going to be technology driven, how do we deal with the ROI which is still to be recovered from the existing investments, and then we invest more? I mean, is that justified? Wendy?
Well, I think with everything we do as CIOs, we're always looking at what the cost and the benefit is of making our investments, and it's not just about buying hardware. It's certainly about the applications that we're going to run on it and the value that we're going to provide through that. But that said, you know, there's certainly best practices out there, and I know that we've been looking at and phasing out older equipment and reducing redundancies, but we've had some of our big successes come from some very straightforward thinking around the placement of equipment, as an example. example, we have a large data center, and we realized that if we just reconfigured the space more efficiently with the existing equipment that we have, we could reduce both our power use and our heating and cooling costs. So just changing the placement of those AC units allowed the units to run more effectively, more efficiently, saving on electricity and further reducing the overall CO2 emissions. So I really encourage people that it's not just about replacing equipment. There are many different prongs on how to attack this and many good best practices out there. That's just one example.
I echo Wendy's comments. We have also done a lot of work and research within our data center specifically, and the placement of equipment really does become key. And ensuring that you are looking at that as you're beginning to do this basic rip and replace, adding more efficient servers, the placement becomes very, very critical within the organization or within the data center itself. Additionally, some of the work that we've done is to look at what time of day our actual data center runs, hot or cold, and look at it more from actually a height perspective and really rearrange even within the racks themselves and within the placement itself where hot and cold spots are so that we can know and really address cooling issues. Even when does your data center run hot? Is it in the middle of the day or is it at night? For example, ours runs very, very hot at night. And maybe not so hot at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So there are technologies available now to really help work through those issues.
Now, when you mentioned about, you know, moving the ACs around and you know, that will help you preserve or conserve energy, all these things are tweakings that we would do even though green IT would or would not have existed, like, you know, today or 5 years ago. Why are we taking this as a green IT initiative for me to move an AC around to make it more an efficient operation? Was that not expected like 5 years ago?
I think that, you know, IT shops are constantly looking for cost out opportunities. We look at 10% of our cost out year over year. Kind of the good news of this is with the green awareness, I know my shop kind of took it upon themselves to move forward on this because they said, you know what, I might have delayed this a little longer. I might not have done it as aggressively as I did because they did, of course, much more than just moving the AC. They did lights out. They simplified the equipment that they had. They consolidated. But they did it on their own initiative because they felt that impetus to move forward with green. But at the same time, they knew that they were doing this to save our company money. So it's kind of a two-sided. In the past, it would have been, okay, cost out, fine. It was the employees themselves proactively moved this forward because of their green consciousness, too. That's a big difference today.
I would also add that I think working more closely with your facility manager, in the past perhaps they haven't worked as closely as we would like within data centers and looking for optimization. And as electricity bills become more and more a cost of producing IT and we continue to increase the consumption and continue to really add CPU capacity and add storage within our data centers themselves, the demand just for computing power continues to increase, you find that the commodity cost of electricity continue to increase just makes it very, very viable from an ROI perspective to really focus your efforts around data center optimization now, where maybe perhaps in the past it wasn't so.
Sure.
From our point of view, there's, you know, the question of power and cooling is something that we consider as a one component in the data center. Typically, people have more than just our components in there. They have products from other vendors and so on. So what we try to do is make sure that we are doing things in such a way that is compatible with all the others, adhere to the same kinds of standards that other components in the data center are adhering to make sure that customers don't really have a hard time dealing with our equipment specifically when they have to deal with a whole bunch of others as well. The other aspect of older equipment is that what you need to do is try and design your systems such that they can actually last longer. Our industry is somewhat unique in the sense that the technology is improving so fast, and you have the same problems in household appliances and automobiles, but in ours, the our industry, the technology improves so fast that it becomes you tend to want to include newer appliances, newer equipment faster than you would otherwise. And when you design systems that allow you to take incremental changes, add new disk drives as they're available, add new HPAs as they're available, so that you can continue to use your old equipment for a longer period of time, it reduces the rate at which you have to recycle older equipment.
Molly, you have something to add?
Well, just real quick, we've been talking a little bit about cooling and facilities, and I agree, and we actually have a green data center at EPA at our National Computer Center where we're actually certified gold for LEED, the Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design rating for that building, which we're very proud of. But even for us, our utility bills have increased substantially over the last couple of years, and I'm sure that's what everyone's dealing with. And so I think one of the things that we haven't really talked about is there's been a lot of benchmarking in terms of green buildings and the energy efficiency associated with that. One of the things that we're doing is because we're continuing to look for energy efficiency in our National Computer Center, we've actually teamed with the Department of Energy to perform an energy assessment of the computer data center itself and trying to break out the difference between the heating and cooling we're using for the people aspect of it versus the machines, and trying to break out, look at real metrics from that perspective to figure out where we can better find additional efficiencies across the information technology within the the computer room. And so, you know, after the assessment, we'll probably have a lot of changes to make in terms of how we organize everything from our servers and the cooling facilities. Interestingly enough, we continue to do this every couple of years. And at one point, I think we had powered down a couple of our cooling units. But as it turns out, I think if we had maybe taken some of those and make them half power versus turning some of them on, it probably would have been more energy efficient. So it's this constant assessment in terms of as we're looking at what the benchmarks are. And I think over the next year, we're really going to have better benchmarks in terms of figuring out really where the energy savings are. Because what we don't want to do is have savings at one point, but we're creating more energy consumption in other areas. So we really need to look at this from a life cycle standpoint for these data centers.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and maybe talk a little bit more about, you know, what else can be done, because we all along spoke about, you know, we can reduce the air conditioning, or we can replace it, or we can do something with the specific PC or server. What else is out there in the bucket which we can be using with respect to making our IT greener? And what are the national or international benchmarks that are available which could provide guideline across the board so that there's some consistency in the effort? With collaboration, we can really reach that goal that we are trying to pursue. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages and discuss.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back, folks. We had been talking all along about overhauling our IT infrastructure or shutting down PCs or moving air conditioners to get the best out of the energy usage. What else can we do to get even a more greener IT? And are there any international or national benchmarks that could provide a guideline and allow us to get consistent and predictable results? Yes?
Well, I think, you know, the important thing to do is focus not simply on reducing power, which is important, but I think there are other efficiencies that can be gained from things like storage capacity and so on. The benefits of that will include not just power savings, but also reduction in actual equipment that you have to buy and therefore later on dispose of. The thing that's important to do to drive this is to get some benchmark metrics, and which are currently limited to, you know, performance, space, and purchase price. These are very narrow views of what equipment has to do. Examples of these kinds of benchmarks are TPC for databases and SPC for storage, where they measure things like performance and space and purchase price. They don't include other factors such as power, cooling, you know, recycling costs, etc. So what we need to do is we need to get metrics that take a broader view of the cost of running equipment, which will allow you to highlight green technologies. And once you get those there, the workloads are important to make sure that, you know, workloads reflect actual customer use, and the green technologies can be evaluated in the context of those workloads and metrics. Once you get that, I think it'll be easier for us to compare different IT technologies and compare how good they are in terms of the overall cost of running things. When you have these broader view of things, the benefits of green IT become more apparent.
Right. Yeah, let me switch over to you know, away from the data center stuff for a minute and say, you know, as people look at green IT, we can also look at it from you know, cradle to grave programs on electronic stewardship. You know, in the federal government, we come together to evaluate and benchmark our own activities as it's related to green IT under something called the Federal Electronic Stewardship Model, which is really a cradle-to-grave program addressing the purchasing, use, and recycling of IT equipment. I know at EPA we're a leader in this, and we're a proud Gold Award winner in the model. Let me tell you, give you some statistics here. And again, this is another type of, it's not just looking at energy savings, but it's about recycling and purchasing. So under this program, the federal government has reused or donated more than 59,000 and recycled more than 35,000 desktops, laptops, and monitors, which is, you know, a key part of stewardship. It's also saved, we're benchmarking and looking at metrics here, we've saved more than almost 190 megawatts of hours of energy, reducing greenhouse gas emissions by a little over 32 million pounds of carbon, which is, just to put it in perspective, I always like to use these terms, 32 million pounds of carbon reduction is like removing 11,000 passenger cars from the road for 1 year. Okay, so that's a lot of energy savings. So under the program, we've also eliminated the use of more than 13,000 pounds of toxic materials that may have entered our landfills. So again, this is another type of a look beyond sort of the data center, but where we can actually look at desktops and laptops and how we're managing those.
Another on the benchmarking front, EPA also released a report to Congress, which I'm sure everyone here has read, on the energy efficiency of the data centers back in August of 2007. And I'm thinking one of the reasons why Green IT is not the only reason, and we look at infrastructure, is because of that report that said, listen, this is a huge problem. It's estimated that this sector consumed about 61 billion kilowatts an hour in 2006 for the total electricity cost of about $14 billion associated with data center operations. And that's just going to continue as computing does. So, you know, we need to look at things as a life cycle in terms of where we can green up. In terms of, we talked about using cooling, we talked about maximizing servers and things like that, but we can do so much in terms of energy efficiency and data centers, but also, you know, the public and small business and medium business and large business can just do something about the recycling of all the equipment on their desk, because people are refreshing these equipment, you know, every couple of years. And just think of what is entering the environment.
Wendy?
Yeah, kind of continuing on that path that Molly started with, which is it can be more than the equipment. I kind of like you to think about the solutions that we as IT people build, our applications, and how we can be leaders in creating solutions that drive cost out for our customers, are eco-friendly, and provide a revenue for our businesses. And just, you know, one of the things that we as IT professionals have as a natural skill set is to take a problem and be very creative, generating, using imagination to create new ideas. And let me share with you some examples, or one key one that we've done here at GE. We have, the first thing is to sit and talk with your customers, of course. That's essential. And we have a customer advisory group. And we sat down with them earlier and said, what are the couple of top issues that face you today? And they said, well, number one, it continues to be and always has been a constant cost reduction year over year, and nothing less than 10%. And also, our second most critical one is becoming more eco-friendly, and these are not independent of one another. So with that information, what we did was we started a pilot last year with just 12 customers who are customers who have service and delivery vehicles. They typically drive about 1,300 miles per day. What we did was with our telematics technology, we optimized their routes. We reduced idle time, which is consuming fuel, and we reduced their drive time. And in doing that, we reduced their miles traveled from 1,300 to 750, about a 50% reduction. And in just one day, that what that does is that reduces the fuel from roughly 130 gallons to 75 gallons. Right there is a financial payback for our customer. But if you do the math, where 1 gallon of gasoline is approximately 20 pounds of CO2, you not only get that significant cost reduction, but you also get to reduce the CO2 emissions by about 1,100 pounds just in one day for just those 12 customers. Now, if you take that, and again, I'm not talking whiz-bang new technology. I'm talking about technology that's been in the industry for a while, but a very different way of approaching a solution for a customer with a very significant problem. And if you take that and then you just add on another age-old technology, which is basically data warehousing with a cockpit, you can real-time be showing them how's their idle time reducing, how does that translate to CO2 reduction in emissions, and in turn, how does that relate to a cost reduction to their total cost of operations. So again, I really challenge technology people to sit with the customer, understand what their pressures are, understand how your business offerings and your technology that you have today could really be turned around in applications that are really going to benefit in that three-pronged situation.
I think one of the items that we continue to hear companies struggling with is, we had talked about it earlier in the program, is really return on investment. And how do we demonstrate a return on investment for really trying to provide green solutions or incorporating green into, as Wendy just described, into applications or into data centers? And I think what becomes critical is that we have benchmarks that we can utilize and follow. And if we take the data center kind of example, We as IT professionals really need those metrics and benchmarks around equipment, servers, consumption. We don't have that today. So what's a challenge is to really try to measure and have good measurements. One of the consortiums, for example, that PG&E just joined recently, or the first utility joined, was the Green Grid, which is a nonprofit consortium trying to advance data center efficiency. And what they're trying to do is really create something like the Energy Star rating on equipment so that we can have benchmarks, and it becomes just a little bit easier for us to do ROI calculations and understand what those devices are going to do for us. So the more that we can get, again, standard benchmarks, which we are very good as an IT organization or as an IT consortium, basically trying to get those measurements in place.
Let's take a quick break, listeners, and we'll be right back after these messages and look at some of the recent research, at least one article that I personally saw where it said that Europe and Asian countries have been doing this thing for quite some time, and in terms of greening of IT and greening of the environment overall, and U.S. has just started catching on. Is there a reason why we are one of the heaviest users of IT? Is there something that we are playing a catch-up now? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money, call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the Internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Unveil the business of real estate investing with the Naked Investors, the bare truth about real estate investing. Join your hosts, Rosie Nieto and Pete Mendenhall, who both come from the inner world of the real estate investors clubs and seminars. With this insider's view, you get to learn what it takes to be a successful real estate investor. Join us for the Naked Investors, the bare truth about real estate investing, every Wednesday at noon Pacific, that's 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. We are talking about some of the recent research which shows that Europe and Asia and other parts of the world have taken a lead and have been in this position for quite a number of years, and they have made some significant progress in terms of greening of their environment and IT. What's causing U.S. to wake up a little later? Molly?
Well, you know, I'll challenge that hypothesis a little bit. I think some countries are perceived as leaders, and I think, but all of us, all countries, and I do some talking to the CIOs in some of the countries in Europe, but, I mean, the awareness is global now on the green IT, and I think that the U.S. is leading in certain areas on this front. I mentioned earlier in the show that I really think we've hit the tipping point in terms of awareness in terms of green IT as it relates to sort of green buildings and green energy and everything else. And part of it is awareness, clearly. But I also think it's part of, as I mentioned earlier in the show, there's this three things that have really sort of forced the awareness. One is the citizens that that understand what energy savings really mean from both an environmental standpoint in terms of carbon, but also they're also seeing green in their pockets by reducing some of their energy. So we have the citizens who are very much aware and want to do some savings on the green IT area. But we also have industry coming together. I thought it was great. I think it was Pat earlier who mentioned the Green Grid. Green Grid is doing great work in terms of bringing together, you know, industry leaders to say, listen, this is a problem that we all need to get together. Instead of looking at, and the vendor community are building products, hardware, software, you know, virtualization technologies, everything. They're building products to help things become greener from a technology standpoint. But they're also coming together, which I think is key in terms of making significant progress, so that we're not dealing with this on a product by product basis entirely, although I think that's important, but we're looking at the life cycle of how things operate. So I think the change in terms of the awareness of the business community coming together for a common effort, I think, is critical as well. And then, again, I think the federal government is a part of this, too, saying, listen, we need to get together out there, show some leadership in there, and help partner with different federal agencies as well, like EPA is doing with the Department of Energy. Not just on Energy Star products, but also looking at the life cycle, some of the data center issues. So I think, you know, all of these things coming together are really the tipping point on why people want to make significant improvements in terms of green IT.
Wendy?
I support what Molly said. You know, we certainly are seeing a very significant momentum now, more than we have in the past, most definitely, because we're on that journey. But we're seeing some other interesting polls, and just to cite one, it was from the Washington Post, and they had cited that the environment is in the top four topics of concern to Gen Y, and Gen Y are our upcoming leaders. And when you think about that, there are upcoming leaders. They have a concern. If they have a concern, they're going to start focusing on it. They're going to start executing upon it, and we're going to see even more momentum than we've seen in the past. Even when you think about, again, I'll reflect back on what we're doing here, is it's not about an initiative, a project, a point in time. It's really all about a culture. We have coined the term eco-imagination at GE, and every employee is not only made aware of what this is all about, which I think is a huge thing, is awareness first, but they're also rewarded, recognized, promoted for coming up with imaginative new ways to solve problems that are really going to reduce the greenhouse emissions, are going to save our customers costs, and are going to drive revenue for our business. So it's not a point in time. It's not about the past. It's about the momentum we have now, where we're going to go forward, and that wonderful Gen Y that's going to keep propelling us forward in driving a whole new culture in our businesses.
Okay.
Yeah, I echo those comments. PG&E being located in Northern California, really we have a customer base that is really demanding energy efficiency products, services, and us being the utility here, of course they want us to really help incent our customer base. And we're in the high-tech industry. We're right here in Silicon Valley. So some of the things that we've tried to do to really keep this momentum going and encourage investment is we've offered and paid out millions of dollars in rebates, PG&E has, For things like replacement of LCD monitors and sleepware software, $15 per unit, $10 of incentive for energy-efficient monitors, and additional payouts for virtualization projects. So we're working closely, not just internally, but with our customer base here to ensure that we are running energy-efficient data centers across our entire footprint, as well as working with the high-tech sector so they're producing energy-efficient products.
Yes.
I can agree with Pat wholeheartedly because we've been working with PG&E to create incentives for our customers that buy into thin provisioning, one of the green technologies that our company has developed. We also have a direct program to increase awareness where we're buying carbon credits for thin provisioning licenses. And so as thin provisioning reduces about 60% of the power and our company purchases the remaining 40% worth of carbon credits. Last year, we bought something like equivalent of 11,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide, equivalent of taking 2,100 cars off the road for the year. So that's increasing the traction in the marketplace, and we see that happening not just outside this country but within the United States as well. It's a global, lots of our companies that we do business with are global, and even American-based companies are wholeheartedly taking on this this problem.
And we're meeting, this is Pat again, we're meeting with other utilities right now on Thursday and Friday to help really push this rebate program throughout the rest of the country. And we'd like to really see it take off to incent across the United States programs like this.
It seems like more like a change management issue more and more because, frankly, just by switching hardware or maybe looking at application or switching AC here and there, maybe doing it, but people at the floor who are using their desktops or laptops or whether they're switching off the light when they're moving out or they're switching off their desktop, all that contributes significantly to the way the overall impact will be seen. So when we are doing this, like Wendy, you mentioned that you have incentive programs, what else is being done so that this is drilled, not in a software way, of course, in the whole organization and across the community, that we really get to the desired effect and there are no weakest links existing there? Anyone?
I think in addition to, to make change last, you always have to have some firm guidelines around, as I mentioned, reward and recognition. But that constant awareness, as an example, when we click onto our homepage each day here at the company, top left side where our eyes focus is today's news about eco-imagination, what has happened in one of our sister businesses, what was the value that it brought to the economy, to the eco, to the customers, who did it, and looking to every individual and sharing the stories of every individual, how they've made a difference. So that's a very critical piece, is that constant communication. As we all know, it's top-down leadership is very critical as well, and there isn't one of our leaders in this company that doesn't have on their goals and objectives methods to become more eco-friendly. And, of course, we always have, it's like brushing your teeth. Of course, you have to do it in a net income positive manner. But it's part of the thread and the blood and the life of the way we communicate, the way we look at goals and objectives, top down, bottom up. It's pervasive.
Now, one question that we have here is that we are, of course, taking all the possible measures in terms of virtualization of IT and in terms of total virtualization in a way, where we are telling the folks to even telecommute and reduce the size of the operation, the buildings, the air conditioners used, the space being used. And with that being said, there is definitely a trade-off in terms of the overall efficiency and productivity and collaboration that you would otherwise need to get your job done. That is being traded off. So how far are we supposed to go in terms of making our environment green? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages and discuss.
stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll-free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
In today's world, it seems as though we live on debt. The American dream is just out of reach because we have a mountain to climb just to get there. Wouldn't it be great to eliminate one of our biggest roadblocks to creating wealth? Let DJ Mars show you the way to rid yourself of mortgage debt and start on the path to wealth with creative real estate investing. You can get rid of your mortgage debt and create real wealth in as little as 3 to 9 years. Find your financial freedom with Living Free and Clear, Debt Elimination and Wealth Creation, each Wednesday at 4 p.m. in the West and 7 p.m. in the East on the Voice America Business Channel.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Esau provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Esau, where America learns to invest.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. We are talking about companies and the overall IT community going gung-ho with this greening of IT. And so much so that we are trying to virtualize our environment. Yes, from a hardware and software standpoint, we're doing it, but we're also even taking the workforce and telling them to telecommute so that we reduce the overall footprint in an organization, the size of the building, air conditioners being used, the carbon dioxide emission, things of that nature. How far are we supposed to go, and what we should safeguard against that we are not totally overdoing it just to get that green status? Wendy?
Well, I think every organization is definitely unique, so you really have to find out what makes sense for both internal, external customers, your employees. Like so many organizations, GE spends a lot of time on employee engagement, and technology is actually a great engagement enabler when you think about it, particularly when it comes to enhancing communications, driving collaboration in remote working environments. And those remote working environments are partially driven by telecommuting and human virtualization. But just think of it. Where would we be today if we didn't have our email, our PDAs, tools like webcasts, podcasts, to keep our employees informed actually in very timely manners, keep them engaged, keep them focused on our goals and objectives, and tools like wikis and what's happening with social networks are just, you know, it's absolutely mind-boggling what we have out there today that we didn't have yesterday that are really adding to our ability to more effectively communicate, to more effectively collaborate. But one thing I will say, even as an IT tech head here, is there still isn't a substitute for personal connections. So one of the things we always have to keep in mind is balance all that wonderful technology that helps communications and collaboration and add a sprinkling of the human element. And one great example out there is that we're starting to see some people actually making commitments on their calendars to take one day a month, whether that's enough or not, but one day a month to not email anybody, but just to pick up the phone and talk to other individuals. You know, a back-to-basics, simple thing that they can sprinkle into their daily activities.
Yes.
So I think that telecommuting and virtualization have benefits other than the environmental benefits. And so these are often driven by other reasons. They happen to have these environmental benefits, so that's good, and we encourage that. At the same time, I agree with Wendy that there has to be a personal touch at times. For instance, there's individual meetings with on more sensitive subjects that you need to have a physical presence, and clearly we balance that with the telecommuting aspects of things. But that's a trade-off, and it's not something that you can make rules about. It's something that is a judgment-driven analysis that happens.
I know at PG&E we support, definitely support telecommuting in certain circumstances. And again, we're located in a great area. We've got access to really wonderful public transportation. We set up van pools. We have a green fleet where we use alternative fuels. So that's the type of greening. And again, environmental effectiveness and environmental stewardship is really a core value of PG&E, so we do incorporate it and look to ways in everything we do, including looking at how we set up our buildings, how we set up our facilities.
Molly?
Yeah, I agree with what everyone has said. I mean, at EPA, we're embracing, you know, all these virtualization technologies. You know, as for our employees, we're utilizing information technology to strengthen our mission by allowing employees to stay connected in remote locations and participate in meetings without travel and those kinds of things, and to use the audio, video, web conferencing tools that can turn the physical workplace into a virtual workplace. And those are things we all need to be doing. And I think some of the components about making sure the personal touch is there. But if you ask me how far am I willing to go to achieve green, I'm willing to go pretty far as long as my infrastructure and security is not compromised. So I always have to say that from a CIO perspective. But everything else is game. The last thing I want to say on this subject is it's amazing if you ask about how far we're willing to go. You know, even outside of EPA, we do these within EPA. We do all of the things that we need to do internally to for energy savings and to green our infrastructure and to allow those things. But what's really amazing to me is how far people are willing to go outside of their daily routine from actually working on some of these things and partnering. And that goes for industry too. I mean, I'm seeing e-cycling events. You know, we're recycling, but e-cycling for electronics out there. Just huge events where industries actually come together to take all, you know, old computers and cell phones and things like that at their own expense, bring them in, let the communities come in, bring them in, so they can recycle all this stuff. And the recycling business is coming in to say, you know, for those days we're going to take all that equipment for free, we're going to extract all the bad stuff out so it doesn't go into our, what can't be recycled can't go into our landfills. So to me that's really, really amazing and a powerful message. In fact, we're hosting one of these ourselves, Earth Day Week on September 20th in D.C. on Freedom Plaza. And these are phenomenal events and really shows how the citizens really engage on this too, because we just have people lining up to recycle this stuff. So to me that says, again, we're at a tipping point where people understand they don't want to just dispose of these things. When they're purchasing more efficient products, and you know, as government, we're trying to encourage these kinds of behaviors to green up the IT, not just within our own workspace, but at home as well.
One very quick last question. I just have a minute and a half for this. Any wish lists that you have? What we have not done so far? Anyone can start.
I think standardized benchmarks that include the traditional metrics, but also include a broader view of cost and performance would be very good. So you need to have something that includes the on the workload as well as the other benefits included in the benchmark.
And of course, with power, I mean, it's just going to be great. We don't have it yet, but the ability to generate your own power through solar or alternative power sources is really going to take efficiency to completely new levels.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, and this is Molly. I think, you know, in terms of my big wish list beyond the ones that I've been mentioning in terms of benchmarks is really to look at these things from a life cycle perspective, because I really think that's where, you know, everything from planning to buildings to purchasing to optimization to recycling, that's really where we're gonna get a lot of the savings.
Yeah, and I guess I would just echo Wendy there in saying that, or was that Molly? I'm sorry. In just saying that really a life cycle view, an end-to-end view of this greening initiative, where it's not just IT, but it's really all of the suppliers understanding what the green footprint really is, or what a carbon footprint is on all the products and services we buy, and how we can continue to do that with greening in mind.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Molly, Wendy, Pat, and Ash, for sharing your thoughts and insights about how we can get the most ROI, whether it's tangible or intangible, from adopting the Green IT initiative within our respective organization and as a community as a whole.
Thank you. Enjoyed being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again. Now, it is great that finally there is this Green IT initiative, which, if wholeheartedly and successfully adopted by us in the enterprises, will help save our planet and, of course, save it from a state beyond repair. Challenge is to convince the executive management, which to some extent is happening now, and they are ready to fund it, and also the IT lieutenants that we have who will follow the instructions in their day-to-day operations, which takes us closer to our green goals. Green IT is going to be a journey because we have to keep improving on what we do today versus tomorrow. And a goal with, and will require collective effort across enterprises. We are just starting out. So let's do the same with a commitment to make the Green IT happen. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.